There is an endless sea of podcasts about entrepreneurship. Talking about it, but not living it. We live it every day. This is Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkle, talking about real estate investing, but also encompassing general subjects in regards to owning small to medium-sized businesses, and of course, all the struggles that business owners must overcome to be successful. This is Inside the Wolf's Den, and this is Sean and Joni Wolfswinkle.
Thank you for joining us inside the Wolf's Den with your hosts, Sean and Joni Wolfswinkle. Today we have an awesome guest in the house, Thad Tarkington. Hey, Thad, how are you doing?
Hello. I am doing wonderful and excited to be here with you guys today. So,
well, we are super excited to have you, and I'm excited for you to share your journey with our listeners here. I think you have a pretty cool journey. We've been clients of Thad's for a couple years now, and I didn't know some things about you and how you got started, so think you have a pretty cool story. So just a little about Thad. So after a confusing trip to the store to purchase an air filter back in 2012, two North Carolina State University students, Thad Tarkington and Kevin Berry, came up with the idea to make this routine home maintenance purchase a subscription-based business. The following year, their startup, Filter Easy, had a few hundred subscribers. Fast forward to now, and that service, now called Second Nature, has grown its customer base to hundreds of thousands by expanding beyond its original direct-to-consumer model to also include industry partnerships. So Thad, again, thanks for joining us. Why don't you kind of give us a little bit more detail and give a background of yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll give you a quick background and then can give a high level overview of our business, kind of where we sit, and then we can jump in. So, first myself, this company started back in 2012. I was actually in college. My buddy Kevin and I started it when I was 20 and he was 19. So we're coming up on a decade this November. So we've been doing this almost 10 years.
Congratulations. That's awesome.
Thank you. Yeah. So, high level background, grew up in North Carolina in the Charlotte area. I went to NC State University. Really not too much thought went into that. It was just, a local state school. And so went there and, got pretty involved with the entrepreneurship scene. Actually during college was doing one of the direct selling jobs for Cutco and, got a little taste of, doing some different sales management. Was involved in the Collegiate Entrepreneurship Organization, NC State, saw a lot of different businesses. And, so when Kevin and I kind of stumbled across this idea, we thought it'd be an interesting opportunity. At the time we didn't really have a clear plan of, hey, what's this going to look like in 10 years? And, it was really, hey, this seems a little more interesting than, going to class every day. So we were working on it. We ended up leaving school or dropping out, as I guess people would call it. And it was my junior year, his sophomore, in like March of 2013 to work on it full time. And the original idea was just a subscription model for air filters. The opportunity we saw was, you have this product that pretty much every residential commercial building needs to change, but you have different quantities, you have different qualities, different sizes, and the frequency of change out can vary by type of property, what market it's in. So ultimately it's, a product that everybody needs. It had a high ROI in energy savings, air quality for the occupants of the property, and the HVAC, which is one of the higher maintenance expenses, as you all know with your expertise. And so anyways, we saw this opportunity where really important to do high ROI, but when you talk to people, they didn't change their filters regularly, just because it was a little confusing out of sight, out of mind. And so the idea was, the service was, by automating this, putting on a schedule, having every size, it would solve that problem. So pretty simple business concept. We ended up leaving school to work on it full time. And we started, and before you know it, you're doing this 20 hours, a day. We're having a lot of fun. And then I guess you wake up 10 years later and you're still doing it. So, that was kind of the kickoff, though. And yeah, happy to walk kind of more what we're doing today first, but I didn't know if you guys had any follow-up.
No, we have a great, there's a story behind that too, because what was it, like 2 years ago, 3 years ago? We were already using you in our company, you know, for real property management. Our clients were utilizing you and using your services, but we went on vacation or something happened.
Yeah, we took a month off. So we, back in June, we took a month off of, and we thought, all right, well, we're going on vacation, right?
Yeah, so we get a call that the air conditioner went out. And turns out we call our air conditioning company. They go out and they're like, your unit's completely frozen over and your filters are like just filthy. And it was like, it's something that, like, as homeowners, so I'm like you're speaking to me, like, if you don't think about it, like, yeah, I knew we needed to do it, especially being in the company we run. It's like, but I'm no different than the residents. You don't think about it. So like, but so guess what we did the next week? We put ourselves on your program.
I was like, hey, next week we're like, we're on this, like, it's getting delivered to our door. And now Sean has a reminder to change out his air filter.
Yeah. And it's cool. Cause it, you know, it's our brand. You guys, use our logos and put that on the packaging. So you guys have done a phenomenal job and you've built a phenomenal company. So mm-hmm. yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no. So I think it's awesome, Thad. I mean, you saw, you know, the common problem and opportunity, realized the subscription model. Like, explain, like, how that all kind of came together, and like you and Barry, like, or Kevin, like, did you guys just, okay, like, how did the idea come up? Go to Home Depot and be like, hey, like, they don't have these sizes.
Yeah. So, you know, that front is actually one of these things. This is probably a big question mark. I joke saying this, but Kevin was shopping for filters in college. So don't know why, but you know, it was just something he was doing, and he's like, oh, these things are a pain. And we were looking at, you know, subscription models with, you know, just the tools available to do e-commerce and subscription billing. We're starting to make it, you know, lower cost of entry. We thought, hey, this is something we could do. And we started talking to a ton of people, and exact same story, you know, you had there, Sean, was, oh gosh, like, I never remember to do this. I want to do it. It's not that I don't want to purchase the product and use the product. It's, I just forget. And that's where, you know, the feedback was good quality product, good price, you know, we're interested. And then, you know, as you saw, you know, obviously you guys mentioned now, you know, originally we were Filter Easy. We rebranded to Second Nature a few years ago, and really kind of, you know, if you look at the focus of our business today, we've got our, you know, our filter business direct to consumer that's continuing to grow, mm-hmm. you know, in a good quality piece of our business. And then we've really got what, you know, I'd say our kind of core focus is now around this resident experience for, you know, the property management industry. And, you know, something we noticed when we started working with property managers, you know, about 5-6 years ago, in a really detailed way was, you know, there's a lot of opportunity to improve the resident experience, mm-hmm. and not just for the resident themselves, but how does that flow back to the property investor or owner? How does that flow back to the property management company and their team? Mm-hmm. And so that's when we say, hey, big opportunity here. We actually went through the rebrand to set the kind of stage for product expansion. And really where we're focused now is, you know, really enabling people to roll out a resident benefits package, which is inclusive of a lot of different products or services for a resident, you know, everything from, you know, insurances, improving their credit, things around security deposit, 24/7 maintenance, you know, really anything that's impacting the resident is what you see, you know, go into these. And so that's where we've really kind of shifted our focus to work on that. That was really driven just by, you know, our knowledge of the industry, what we're hearing from partners, and where we thought we could be helpful. So that's kind of, you know, the history of the business was, you know, got started in college with filters, you know, kind of got into some different channels, and then have really just expanded the product offering over time, you know, really with that focus on resident experience. And here we are today. So,
yeah, well,
would you, just curious, a question on that, as a business owner, how did you guys see the opportunity to go down that niche and more, I think what did you call it earlier in the, like strategic partnerships or industry partnerships, rather than, I think most people when they're starting a business, they would just think, oh, direct to consumer and let me sell to everybody. Can you talk to about why it's almost better to have a niche or a focus, and you guys really took advantage of that, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. So a couple things to, you know, break apart, I think you just said. So one on our kind of our channel strategy, and, you know, for us, we did start and said, all right, we're going to go direct to consumer, the tools, you know, that are available. Here's kind of our strategy. And I will qualify and say, you know, at 20 and 19, you know, we didn't have a 40-page business plan and 30 years of experience to guide it. You know, I think it was a lot more just with the gut or the heart, as you would say, but, you know, we thought it would work out. You know, as we gain more experience, we're operating, we started to look at, hey, what are other applications that we can apply our business model to? So we noticed, you know, partnerships with whether it be utility companies, HVAC companies, real estate or property management companies, you know, really popped up. One, we were getting some inbound interest from folks. Mm-hmm. And then I think one of the reasons we really dove in headfirst to the property management space is we looked around and realized, you know, the opportunity is so big from the fact that you've got almost 45 million occupied rental units in the US. And, you know, almost across the board, property managers go, hey, this is really important from a maintenance perspective. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But because the residents are there, it's a resident responsibility, it almost universally doesn't get done. So if you look at the homeowner, it's like they have the intent, they're getting it done. You know, maybe, you know, I'd be making up a number here, but maybe half of people don't change it as regularly as often. When you get to the resident, it's virtually nobody was doing it regularly. And so big opportunity for improvement. We kind of saw that market opportunity through inbound interest. And then, you know, as we got to know the industry better, we really said, wow, like, you know, the industry is really professionalizing. It's scaling up. You've got a lot of new operators, a lot of new innovation coming. And when you look at the resident experience, historically, you know, the way we viewed it was, hey, it's really just, hey, get them in, application, lease the property, good communication, good maintenance. That was kind of where people had focused. But all these other areas around, how do you make that experience end-to-end really good? What are there opportunities around, you know, if you look at like a product that, you know, credit, how can we help residents build credit, different things like that, mm-hmm. that can have a major impact, you know, improve on-time rental payments, you know, which is a benefit to owners and property managers, but also helps build their credit. You know, what are the other areas that you can improve? And so it started, I think, with this natural evolution. And then as we saw that opportunity, you know, we've kind of called it double down and really, you know, yeah. Focus more on it. So I'd say that that's kind of that first piece, you know, on the channel component. So,
yeah. Do you guys see yourself expanding back into other, or do you feel like as a business, I guess, how do you make that decision as you being the leader of the company and guiding that? How do you see yourselves, you know, like you said, doubling down on this industry or like branching into other, how do you go about assessing how you're going to decide on the direction for you guys?
Yeah. Well, and I would say, yeah, this is a tough one because I think, at least for myself, and I think a lot of entrepreneurs, you know, always looking for different ways to grow, you know, use those creative juices, yeah. you know, innovate. And so I think there's always that challenge of how do you stay focused? Mm-hmm. What do you focus on? You know, ultimately, what's your objective?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so I think, you know, when we look at our business, I think one thing we said is, hey, we're really focused on the professional property manager. You know, that is our core focus. So, you know, when you look at the market, you could say, all right, you've got these accidental landlords, you know, they are managing property. They could use our products. And you've got the professional landlords, you've got different types. And so, you know, is it vacation or is it, you know, a long term? And so what we really said is, hey, we're focused on, you know, the professional long-term property manager. That's really where, you know, we focus. Now we work with other people. We've got other partnerships. There's other ways you can use our products. And I'd say those are always, you know, if we can enable something in our current infrastructure without too much distraction, you know, that's kind of the decisions we've been making along the way to do those. I don't know if those are, you know, right or wrong. I think that's for the individual entrepreneur side, but that's kind of how we played. But in that focus, it's really around the category of resident experience and saying, hey, there's a big opportunity here. Mm-hmm. So we're constantly looking at, you know, with that customer in that category, what are ways we can further, you know, enrich the experience of the resident? And, you know, a big thing we focus on is, you know, the triple win. So when you're doing something, rolling out a new product or service, in the product or service itself, how can you make it a value add to the resident, the owner of the property and the property manager? That's really kind of where we're focused and expanding on. So
very cool. Well, I know that we've met like a couple of years ago at one of the conferences, and filters, yeah, seemed like a great idea. But really what intrigued me about you guys was just the company and culture that you created. I mean, you guys were walking in these purple suits. I'm like, man, I want to be around these guys. So, you know, talk a little bit about your culture and explain like what you've done to build that cool, awesome culture. Because as business owners, that's a tough part.
And explain the purple. Yeah. The purple.
And the purple suit. I requested the purple suit today.
I love it. So, first purple suit. You know, very very fun little piece here. As we used to joke, we're in the business of filters, fashion, and fun. So, no, I think
love it.
I think so. When we think about culture, you know, I heard something recently I really liked, which is, you know, when you're hiring, when you're recruiting, you know, there's often this term of, hey, hire for culture fit. Mm-hmm. And the reality is everyone you bring in changes the culture, you know? And so the question is, you know, this ideal culture, you know, what is it centered around? For us, it's, hey, the products and services that we're offering, the market we're playing in, you know, the impact we want to have in that industry, what's the necessary culture to do that? And so, you know, when we're hiring, it's really, is this person going to help drive us more towards that ideal culture, or are they going to detract from that? And so it's something we're constantly looking at evaluating. It's really important to us. And so, you know, as I think about our customers, something that we often, you know, say to ourselves is, you know, we want to be the most thoughtful people, you know, our customers know. Mm-hmm. And so that's how we show up, you know, when we're engaging, you know, whether it's, you know, a new customer working with, whether it's customer service, something's going wrong or right, you know, we're showing up, we're engaged, we're interested, we want to help solve a problem. We love to have fun. And so, you know, the expectation of our team is, hey, we're going to have fun. We're going to engage. You know, there's one of our core values is a drama-free zone. So, you know, obviously, you know, things pop up. There's going to be drama that you could lean into. Mm-hmm. But really, you know, the expectation from our team is, you know, hey, we're here to, you know, at work. We want to have a good time. The way we believe, you know, we have the most fun when we are crushing our goals, when we're making a big impact. You know, when you hear from a customer, hey, you know, I started working with you and this happened in my business, or, you know, this level of profitability was reached, or, you know, this happened to my maintenance or my residence impact, you know, that's the stuff that fires us up, gets us really excited. And so for us, you know, the culture is centered around, you know, I know people say a ping pong table here, you know, foods, it's really, hey, are we focused on serving the customer? You know, are we having an impact and are we hitting our goals? And that's the most excited I've seen our team. Mm, you know, yeah. when you're hitting your objectives, it creates that energy. And so that's kind of what we're looking for when we recruit people, is who's going to bring the energy every day, who's going to, you know, be a leader in whatever role they're in, who's going to push us forward. So we have a set of core values that, you know, we hire to when we're doing our quarterly kind of team reviews. We use EOS, you know, we're checking mm-hmm. against those core values. And so, but I would say that's really important to us. You know, we're definitely looking for that. And we've been fortunate that we've had incredible people join the team and that have further enforced that, further helped us build that out. But yeah, I think it really comes down to defining where you want to be and then, you know, hiring people that fit that or will help guide that in the right direction.
Yeah. Something that, like Joni mentioned earlier, an impact for me, was I didn't meet you till like way later on. I met several people within your company at, you know, different events in Vegas. And I think, I don't know, here somewhere locally, but, I was always very impressed by the, just the professionalism, the, yes, you said they love to have fun, but I just thought they represented your brand extremely well and absolutely carried themselves. And so, and that it was neat to see. And then I met you years later and I didn't even know you were the owner of the company, but, and, but that's, I think that contributes a lot. That has a lot to say, because you've built something really great. And I think you're pretty humble that, you know, you run a really large size company. So, How, as you starting so young, did you, maybe you're just that bright and just that talented, I don't know, but what have you done along the way, I think, to really build that culture and that and bring in the right people? And you mentioned a lot already, but I mean, like, starting young, I think sometimes, you know.
Well, we've seen it as well. When we started our business at 19 and 20, and I mean, we were kind of just learning.
We took a lot longer than you did, though.
We were learning as we, you know, we didn't know anything about business and leadership, right? Leadership to begin with is tough, right? And so, yeah, I mean, it, like, how did you, what helped you to get to where you're at today?
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, first off, you know, I think we could probably share this experience. I've gotten a lot more wrong than I've gotten right. And
that's
so
being an entrepreneur.
I think, you know, I'll answer your question as well as I can, but I do think, you know, on one instance, it's just perseverance. You know, when we started the business, as I mentioned earlier, you know, we weren't saying, okay, and by 2022, we're going to be the property management space and like, you know, this full product portfolio. And like, you know, this is our core, like all this stuff that you'd look at today, if you look at our 22, you know, annual plan or the way, you know, we run the business, none of these are on the table. So I think part of that was just the like, you know, the enthusiasm, the perseverance to keep rolling is how we got started. But in terms of, you know, over time, you know, the whether it be personal growth in leadership and management and strategy, you know, definitely been fortunate to have a good set of mentors. And, you know, so early on was able to get connected with people, you know, some that invested in the business, some that were just, you know, willing to help out who, you know, would sit down. And I remember, you know, somebody told me something once, one of our early mentor, they said, hey, once you learn something, it seems obvious. So in 6 months, I might seem completely useless to you. And that stuck with me because it largely played out. You know, I remember I was drinking from a fire hose, so to speak, when we first met with him around, hey, product strategy, marketing, how do you do customer acquisition? And I was just like, I'm like, how do you know? This is the smartest person I've ever met. And then I remember like, you know, as they know, 6 months later, we'd meet with him. I'm like, I'm just not really getting anything new from you. But, you know, and so I think part of it has been, you know, looking at, hey, what are the areas of that really are going to have a big impact in the business? And who are those experts? Who are those resources you can go to? How do you surround yourself with really talented people that, you know, you can learn from each other? And so I think that's really important. The reality, I think that nobody knows what they're doing. You know, people have more experience. Some people are able to do things more effectively, but no one's got a crystal ball. No one knows 100% the right answer any place. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's, you know, how do you get that information? Of course, those who filter that information and, you know, the decisions they make are going to impact the growth rate and the success they have. But I would say, you know, it really comes down to just, you know, sticking it out. Something that we love to say around here is every time you see us, you're going to see a better version of us. Mm-hmm. And so I think, you know, following that motto, if every day I'm going to be a better version of myself, I'm going to grow and I'm going to stick to it, it helps. As an entrepreneur, you know, one of the most common things you hear is this like roller coaster of emotion where like you wake up on a Tuesday and you're like, I love this business. I love our customers, our products. Like, you know, we're going to be the next Apple, Microsoft, whatever. You know, hey, we're, and then like you wake up Wednesday morning, and you're like, we're going to completely fail. This isn't going to work. And it's funny, like, you know, you read sometimes, you know, it's casual Saturday afternoon. You're on Twitter, you're on, you know, you're reading Ink Back, whatever it may be. And you read this and you're like, nah. And then like Tuesday, you wake up like, oh, nope, it's back. That's real. And so I think having the perspective to say, you know, hey, I've been in those valleys and there's highs below, they will pass. But, you know, what's the mission? What's the vision?
Absolutely.
And then what's right in front of me, you know, not worrying about what's going to happen in 2027. You know, it's important. You need thinking long term. But, you know, how do you execute in the short term? So I think that's a big piece. And I could go on more.
You answered it well.
That's good. And being so young, like what sacrifices did you have to make early on?
Yeah, this is a funny one because, you know, I mean, some of the easy ones to answer, like once we started this, my co-founder and I think, you know, we started this again in college. It was November of 2012. We got to the point we were working, you know, 20 hours a day. We had this tiny little room at NC State. There was a couch in there and we'd literally like, till you fell asleep at your desk, we go lay on the couch. You know, this is all we were doing. We ended up going as this accelerator and the same thing. So it's like, this is just what we did. Now, you know, I think we enjoyed it, right? We were having fun. We felt like we were learning, growing. It's sometimes hard to know because it just became the norm. That's what we were doing. But I think, I mean, we did that for, you know, I mean, heck, to this day, we put in that level of effort, you know, at certain times. And so I think there's definitely a sacrifice to, you know, skip some summer breaks in college, maybe some other things that are probably more of the high probability path for people in their 20s, you know, maybe, you know, skipped over those. but at the time, you know, have always loved what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, maybe this isn't a good thing, but like, this is all I know, you know? And so I've gotten very used to it and, you know, enjoy working with people. You know, I get a little more excited when we have a new product idea and, you know, 6 months, 9 months of hard work, it all comes to fruition. Mm-hmm. You get that first customer using it and you get that feedback. I mean, to me, that beats a Netflix movie, although I love Netflix. So I think it's just what I like to, you know, I like to do it. So I don't know how many sacrifices, you know, there's definitely been, you know, a lot of time put into it, but I think it's been really fun, really enjoyable. And, you know, sitting where I'm at now, you know, it's in the forecast for the future. So yeah.
You could probably say it's not work for you because you enjoy
it's having fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now that there are those, I would say there's those,
there's those days
Saturday morning at 2 a.m. you know, when you're on the phone and you're saying, you know, and you're looking on your Instagram or whatever, and all your friends are, out doing, you know, there are times, right.
Yeah.
But I think on the opposite, you know, there's times that are super fulfilling and, you know, and I think that's the hard part is, you know, how do you keep that clear vision of where you want to go and kind of fight through the present, you know, and you know, hey, it may be a bumpy ride, but you know, are you progressing? Mm-hmm. And you know, at least for myself, my co-founder, kind of our team, you know, we've been fortunate enough to keep progressing along, and I think that keeps us going, keeps us excited.
Is there anything you could have done differently along that journey? And I know you're really just getting started. You're way ahead of majority of the people, so yeah. I'm sure you got some big goals. But so far in your young career, what would you have done anything different? Any major mistakes or failures? And I know you said that you probably made more than you did, right? But I mean, like,
yeah.
Anything you would highlight or, you know?
I was going to say, do we have 6 hours? But no, jokes aside, I look at this in two ways. I think, you know, is there practical stuff mm-hmm. that just through sheer experience I would redo? And the answer is there's a lot of those. I can hit on a couple points. And then I think more on the kind of emotional or the mentality side of, you know, how do you push through? And so I think from, you know, are the things you do differently? So going on the kind of more, the softer side first, mm-hmm. you know, this idea of, if I could go back and change that one thing. And I think everybody thinks about that often. Gosh, mm-hmm. if we had just done this, or like, hey, we rolled this out, it didn't work well. If we just done this one thing differently. But you know, for me at least, I don't look at things as, gosh, if we had done that differently, because every decision we make tweaks things slightly. You know, if we had done that differently, maybe we wouldn't have got that negative feedback, but then we learned something in that negative feedback that influenced something else, mm-hmm. you know? And so it's impossible to say, right? We could have nailed things perfectly earlier. And what if, you know, things were going well and we decided not to look into this channel, or maybe it's, you know, we did that and, you know, so it's, I would say generally, you know, from my perspective, it's, you know, wouldn't change one thing in the past because I'm thrilled with the current state. I'm thrilled with where we're at. Mm-hmm. But from a practical example, if I was starting a business again, you know, there are all sorts of things around, you know, whether it's, you know, when you hire, you know, the first person. I remember mm-hmm. For us, you know, we had two investors who invested. They're really helping us grow the business. And I remember I was sitting there in a meeting and I was doing all the customer service. I had it ring to my cell phone. We were using like something like RingCentral at Ford. And I would just, you know, I'd be sitting there, you know, heck, could have been doing a podcast like this. And my phone, I'd be like, hey, sorry guys, got to go. Like, this is my top priority as a customer. And I remember one day I got off the phone and they said, I think we should hire a customer service person. I'm like, I don't know. Like, they're expensive. And they're like, "Dad, this is the like fourth meeting in a row. You've had to stop twice for a call. Like, we set an hour meeting and you spend half of it on the phone. Like, it's, you know, and we started talking about the ROI. And so I think some of these things where in the past it was, you know, hey, I can do this on myself. You know, what's the lowest cost way to do things? You know, I think managing dollars being prudent is so important, you know, but really where do you spend your time? Where's the high ROI going to come from? Mm-hmm. You know, is it going to be taking that customer service call or is it going to be, you know, looking at new channels, new product, things like that? So I think, you know, just a sense of where to invest, where to put time, you know, a lot of different perspective on that. Something I often hear from people, you know, I'll see this and, you know, let's say you have like the property management audience of, hey, I've got 100 units, right? And it's, hey, do I hire that first person? They're like, it's so expensive. right? Or, hey, when I hire people, they don't do things as well as I do is one I hear a lot. And, you know, something I would say is you're probably right, right? They may not do it as well, but the reality is, can they do it well enough to meet the objective that's going to wow the customer, you know? Mm-hmm. And if they do, you know, you've got to bite that bullet. You've got to make that change because, you know, Apple can't run with one person, right? You've got to be able to hire. And so I think giving up control, you know, trusting people, you know, that's something that's definitely changed a lot for me and has actually become more of a, you know, I would say, you know, driving really hard to, you know, how do we bring in talented people that have that experience, put them in the right areas. And I also don't believe, you know, that everyone does, you know, this comment of, oh, they don't do it as well as me. I actually don't think that's true. I think they're going to do things
probably,
you
know, better. Things
a lot better. Yeah. And that's the intellectual honesty you have to give yourself. Maybe they don't do it the way you do it. Maybe you don't like change, but that doesn't mean it can't be done well. And so I think hiring people, you know, and where you apply them, I think would be a big piece that we probably dragged along. So, and I could go
that's
on a lot more.
That's a lot of value right there. Yeah. That thank you so much for sharing that, because it's true. Like, we talk about that all the time. Like, what is your time worth? Right. Like Sean always says, like, we used to think that we can do it better, but truth is we are not those people. Our team does it better than us. So once you can figure that out, that's gold right there.
That was a great,
I
had a question for him. On your partnership, I'm just curious, what's your guys' personalities like? So are you guys totally different than each other? And just, you know, because there are a lot of times people go into business with partnerships. Some work great, some don't, and
some are husband and wife, and we
but you even have to figure that. Yeah.
Oh man, I mean, I would say, you know, we definitely have different personality styles. Yeah. I mean, I'd say one common thing about us is, you know, both, you know, very committed, very passionate about what we do. I think we've both got that component where, you know, once we see something, you know, we've got to bring it to completion. And so I think that's worked well in our partnership. It's allowed us to, you know, give each other the trust to know, hey, there's an equal effort and really it's been good. In terms of like, you know, style of operation where we focus, you know, I've generally been more focused, and I'll put this simply, right? There's a lot of nuance behind this, but more, you know, on the customer facing, the product side, you know, kind of the growth side, where Kevin's been more focused on the fulfillment side. So the operations, you know, how do we fulfill or service, you know, what we do. Mm-hmm. And so that's worked really well for us, where kind of we said, all right, you know, what are we selling? How are we selling it? You know, how are we doing service? You know, I'm kind of driving that. And then he's kind of driving more the operations, the execution. Yeah. And it's kind of given us good lanes to operate in as we grow. But, you know, one thing that's definitely true is it changes all the time, you know, like, you know, now we've got, you know, over 250 people on the team, you know, people, especially now with, I think we were talking about this before we jumped on, but, you know, with the impact of going to remote work and hiring people and everything that's happened the last few years, that's changed the dynamic, you know, as we've gone to different channels. And so also I think the ability to, you know, look at where we're at in space and time, you know, how do we adjust that? You know, I think we've done collectively a good job of just, you know, really focusing, hey, what's best for the business? And we've had a pretty good relationship due to that. So, that's kind of been my experience, and I hear all kinds of different stories. So it's definitely, varies.
Yeah, yeah. Usually the one that work are similar to yours, somebody's usually forward facing and somebody's kind of behind the scenes making it happen and fulfilling it. So, and you guys have done a really good job of pivoting, or not pivoting, but handling the pandemic. And I think with what you've done with your air filters, just in that sense with COVID, and I think it was phenomenal what you guys have come out with as far as the shipping part of the filter and changing it to that. I don't know. Is there a name for it? Is there?
Yeah. So
it's cool. Yeah.
Yeah. We've got our filter. So we call it the pop filter just because it pops open. But it's that was something we actually, you know, quick background on that. I think we went and shipped our first set of orders. This was back in like 2013. And I remember we walked out of the post office and Kevin and I looked at each other and we're like, gosh, like these things are frail. They get damaged. They're huge. Like we just took one. We like crunched it up in a ball. We're like, all right, this can fit in my pocket. you know, not that's an exaggeration, but like this thing, you know, why couldn't we have one of these that doesn't get damaged? It's smaller, it's easier to handle, easier to ship, less packaging, and all, you know, all these good things of an optimized form factor. And we said, all right, you know, if I can pick up my phone and, you know, FaceTime somebody across the world, I'm sure we can come up with a way to innovate on an old product. And so we actually tabled it for a few years. We said, all right, let's put our energy, let's prove this business model works. And then if there's a way to optimize the product, we can do that second. And so we ended up really dusting that off, that concept off in 16, took a few years of R&D, and then we rolled that out about a year and a half ago. But it's been great. You know, yeah, customers have loved the product. You know, from a performance standpoint, it's a better performing product on all objective measures around airflow and cap, you know, things like that. Mm-hmm. So it's you know, but that was a ton of fun and definitely a cool product. So
kudos to you guys.
Yeah. So real quick here, what's your next? What are your maybe 5 and 10 year goals?
Yeah. So I think you know, I'll answer. You said what are my 5 or 10 years goals, but I'll answer these more of
Your company. Yeah.
Yeah, our company. So I'll say and there's a kind of one in the same. So back to the, you know, I think as we look out 10 years, right, I'll just call it 2030. You know, what we believe would be the best outcome is, you know, how do you take a standard level of professionalism for a property manager? Mm-hmm. And, you know, whether it be between, you know, increasing challenging regulations or whether it be through pure operational, you know, value, we believe a professional property manager will win out in the long run. And so it's how do we partner with those people committed to that, committed to, you know, creating a great resident experience. And so, you know, those are people we want to be working with. And then, you know, how do we help deploy products and services that can live up to, you know, creating the number one resident experience. And so right now what that looks for us in kind of the next 5 years is really continue to innovate on the current products we have in market. You know, we currently have 7 products we're offering, you know, around resident experience, mm-hmm. as part of our resident experience platform. And so it's really continuing to innovate on those existing products. You know, how do we better integrate them to both the property manager and the residents' lives? And then, you know, we've got some product expansion. So I think, you know, you fast forward 10 years and, you know, we'd like to be able to look at that point in time and say, you know, the resident experience today is a step function better than it was before. And what outcomes is that bringing? You know, maybe residents are staying in properties longer. Maybe they're better maintaining properties. You know, the satisfaction there's up, you know, the way they live in their property, they move between them, the way they communicate with the property manager, all those things are improving.
Right.
And I think what that leads to is a larger industry of the property manager, a more profitable business. And then, you know, also from the investor base, you know, are people more likely to hold on to the rental because, hey, we're driving better outcomes. Rent payments are higher and there are more timely, but by the way, you know, that's a benefit to the resident because, you know, their credit scores are improved. You know, they're creating a stronger financial foundation. You know, plus as you start to see, you know, a lot of changes. I think I saw something, you know, last week, Airbnb, I think it was a third or a fifth of their, I believe it was a fifth of their rentals were a month or longer, you know, and then 50% were a week or longer. So, you know, are you starting to see dynamics where, you know, with the way people are living and working, to that change, how do we navigate that and work into our strategy? So for us, it's really about creating that partnership with the professional manager and helping them kind of fulfill their business vision. That's kind of where we're sitting, and that's where we'll be focused for the next 5-10 years. So
awesome. Well, it's been great for our business. So thank you guys for what you guys provide us. I know that we have a ton of property managers listening here. So for those that don't know who you are, how do they get a hold of you?
Yeah. I think, one, you know, if you go to secondnature.com, you could find us there. You know, if feel free to reach out to me and I'll talk to you or make sure we get you connected to that person, thad@secondnature.com. But yeah, we would love to talk with anyone. And, you know, we're definitely committed to the space and, you know, believe we can add value. So anyone who's interested, you know, please do reach out. We'd love to have a conversation.
Awesome.
Yeah. Just one last question to close it out. Like, we have a lot of young listeners too, I think, or people just starting out. And I think you can add a lot of value to them and what you've accomplished at a young age. So any advice for them that are just starting out or in college and in the entrepreneur program and, thinking about what they're going to do, what advice would you give them?
Run. Just kidding. No, I'm joking.
may not be bad advice, but you know what I would say, if I had to go with one thing, I would say just get started.
Yeah.
As I look around and talk to, you know, folks that have created multiple businesses, had success in business, of course, there's a wide range depending on your expertise, you know, skill sets, experience. You know, you might do better or worse than others. But one common thing is, you know, I had an idea and I put it into action. If you don't start, you'll never go anywhere. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the amount of people I can count where it's like, you talk to them and 6 months later, it's like, hey, I always want to be doing something, but then you snap your fingers and it's been 5 years and it's still an idea. Mm-hmm. So I think it's the doing part. You know, are you actually going to take action, jump in the ring, jump in the arena, as people may say, and you'll figure it out. I've often heard entrepreneurship, you know, described in so many ways around like, hey, it's like jumping out of an airplane, but making the parachute on the way down, you know, so I think it's true.
Yeah.
One thing would be just start. And then once you start, you know, podcasts like this, you know, mentors, network, you know, find good resources to help you, but just get started and stick to it. Everything else will fall into place.
Mm-hmm. Love it. So you heard from the man, just get started, guys.
So thank you, Thad, for being here today. We appreciate it. I know you added a ton of value.
Yes.
You know, we love working with your company, and anybody that needs your services, please reach out. Secondnature.com. We'll have all the everything in the show notes, so they can contact you or get started. And yeah, we're looking forward to continuing to use you guys. And the one thing you said earlier that I loved was you said the property management companies are going to come more profitable and more successful. So that was my takeaway. So since we're in that line of business, that sounds good to us. But no, thank you again thank you for everything. And thank your team. You know, they're doing a phenomenal job. So yeah.
All right. Well, awesome. Thanks, Thad.
You've been listening to Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkle. Tons of entrepreneurial podcasts are out there. Talking. But Joni and Sean are living it every single day. Their portfolio now includes many franchises and medium-sized businesses. We talk about the trials and motivators of successfully running a business. Join us again soon for another podcast. But until then, reach out on the website at InsideTheWolf'sDen.com, on Facebook at Inside the Wolf's Den, on Instagram at Inside the Wolf Den. We'll see you again soon. This is Inside the Wolf's Den. We'll see you next time.